If you've heard the sounds of the Southeast on the weekends here on WUTC, you've heard Amy Campbell. She is the host and producer of the Tennessee Farm Table and Sweetgrass, Saturdays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on this station, originating from East Tennessee's own WDVX in Knoxville. Farm Table shares the stories of the people who produce, preserve, and present the food of this region, while Sweetgrass offers what it calls a softer side of bluegrass with a peppering of classic country. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ray. I love being able to share all the stories from Tennessee Farm Table with a bunch of new ears and listeners and everybody down there in Chattanooga. And then Sweetgrass, I hope everybody's liking it. You're going to hear Dolly Parton on there because it's my way of thinking that we love Dolly, but do you really ever hear her on the radio? Not a lot. So you're going to hear her on Sweetgrass.
And you do, and I have. And it's not just the Dolly Parton tunes that most people know. That's what really grabs me by the ears.
Good. I try to seek those out more acoustically. I try not to have the music that I pick out for that show to be grating on the nerves, and thus Sweetgrass. It's pretty much vintage music. Most of it's vintage, a little bit of classic country or vintage bluegrass. I say vintage, which is really an incorrect term. It's more stuff from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, probably the third generation of bluegrass.
And it rounds out this hour that begins with Tennessee Farm Table. Tell us more about Farm Table and how your interests coalesced into this program.
I have a long history of promoting local foods and the love of farming and trying to promote our regional farmers from former jobs with the city of Knoxville and PR, running events and things like that to attract more visitors to farmers markets. And a group of us started a farmers market here in our little town of Maryville because I just think it's really important and always have thought it was important to promote regional food. And I just love people's stories. And I'm guilty of talking too much. And I love to hear people tell their stories. Just after about 25 years of local food advocacy, I came to the people who are in charge of programming for WDVX, and I said, you know, I don't know why there is not a food show, one of the biggest parts of our culture. I said, I'd love to do a food show, but I'd like to have ownership of it so I could also have be a podcast and go to different markets and things like that. And they said, absolutely, we'd love to have it. So that's how it started. I just wanted to share stories of people that are creating our foods, be it farmers or chefs or food writers or musicians, people that kind of keep these old stories alive. And then also people that have moved to this area and how they take these ingredients that are typically seen as Appalachian or Southern foods and come up with brand new ways of cooking. I just think that it's important to keep these stories on the air. And ultimately, I want more people to buy local food and to come together through our differences over breaking a big pan of cornbread together.
Indeed.
Yeah. I do think that food and music really help us to find our commonalities.
And in finding those stories, you go out to these places. We hear you go out to these places. We hear you out at the farmers markets. We hear you out at the parks, talking to these people, asking them to tell their stories.
That's right. I think it's important to see the farm, see how it's raised. I like to really know before I put something on the air how the food is raised, the quality of the person, and their intent that goes into it. I just think that that's really important. I try to really get a broad spectrum of people. I might have one day Ronnie Lundy, that famous food writer, James Beard Award-winning chefs, or Ronnie's won a couple James Beard Awards. And then the next day, I might have a mamaw that has lived her life near Cades Cove. I like to keep a variety of guests and try to go to where they are so I get sound effects and look at their home and they pull out recipe books. And you just can't get that if somebody comes to a generic little studio.
It's about being as discerning in the stories as you're shopping for the food yourself.
That's a good point. It really is. And I want to help people find really, truly wholesome food and help support the farmers, and also where to find seed and how we can keep our genetic diversity in the food that we grow in our gardens by knowing more about heirloom seed and people who save seed and all that. I try to just promote old ways that are new again.
And how would you describe what's unique about those old ways in this part of Appalachia, in East Tennessee?
A lot of us, including myself, just have gone to the store for everything. And we, after mechanized farming and food production started way back in the late 40s. We've just grown up just assuming everything. This is really a broad brush I'm painting here, but we've grown up buying everything from the store. I just think it's important for us to all have more of a sense of self-reliance and to educate ourselves of how our food is made. And then that leads into wanting to eat foods that are less filled with fillers and preservatives. And I just think we generally eat healthier if we eat the foods that we can grow ourselves, or just a little bit of food. If we just grow maybe some spinach or a tomato plant, it just feels like you've really done something. And it's a real different feeling than going and throwing that thing on the little U scanner at the big box store. Sure feels good to grow your own tomato and eat that tomato sandwich in the middle of the summer.
Favorite things that you have grown right here in East Tennessee?
Okay, I'd have to say this past year, I've grew some beautiful green beans. And I always heard people loving green beans. And you open a can of green beans and they just taste so blah. But I got seed from a family that used to live in Cades Cove before the Great Smoky Mountains National Park took over that area and they moved out of the cove. And there was a fella named McCarran who saved a seed called Kermit's Striped Stick Bean. And I got some of those seed from his great-grandson and I planted those and we picked those beans and just barely steamed them a little bit in the microwave with a little butter. And they were the best green beans. It tasted nothing like a can of green beans. And I saved some seed if anybody would like for me to share some seed with them. It's really worth planting it. It's just an amazingly delicious bean.
How about favorite recipes from here in East Tennessee?
There are several of them. I think one of the easiest and most delicious things that we rely upon is a kilt salad. My grandmother from Mississippi taught me how to do it. You can use any kind of lettuce or kind of stout green, like a mustard green. And basically, it's what you eat when you have no money and you want something green and filling. And it's delicious. How I do it is I get my cast iron skillet out and I put a little dollop of Benton's bacon grease. Well, I'm not giving an advertisement, but Benton's bacon out of Madisonville is a great bacon. And so I save a little bit of the grease and get it piping hot. And I've washed my mustard greens and I've chopped them real rough. And I just toss coat those really quickly and cook them maybe 2 minutes. You put it on a platter and then you can put a little balsamic vinegar on that if you want to, and crumbled bacon and a boiled egg. You've got a good little old-fashioned Appalachian meal that will stick with you.
How do you keep surprising yourself when it comes to the outdoors, when it comes to ingredients, when it comes to recipes, when it comes to music? Because you've covered so much of the same ground from so many different angles for so many years doing this.
People have asked me that, but I feel like I have just scratched the surface with people I've been able to reach out to and be able to talk with. There's so many people I'm just itching to get to. It's funny, when I first got into this, I thought, okay, I've interviewed that person and now that is covered. But then people keep evolving and people keep doing different things. So this young man I've seen, for instance, there's this young man named Stan Sharp, and I knew him when he was kind of a teenager, and now he's a bluegrass caller, and now he's married and grows all kinds of great food. So that's going to be an interesting show. You know, 10 years ago, he was still just a kid with no particular urge to be a bluegrass caller, but he calls square dances now and goes all over the place. That's a for instance. And I just think that as people grow up and their children grow up and they get into this food business, restaurants open and close, that there's an ever evolving sort of list of recipes to kind of pull out of people.
How have you adjusted hosting and producing the show this past year because of the pandemic?
It's really been hard. I have had a lot of the shows pre-recorded and put away in what I call my pantry. I have pulled some out and updated them and replayed some several shows that are just really good shows. But it's been difficult. For instance, I have a fella coming over for an interview to our home, and we have a barn, and I'm calling it a barn cast. We can sit six. I know. Got a tripod with my little recorder on it, and my earphones, a 6-foot cord to the recorder, and 2 chairs 6 feet away. I'll wear a mask, and it's ventilated, a big barn. I've just had to go to people's homes, and we've had to record outside. I take it real seriously, and I don't want to be presumptive and show up at somebody's house and not follow safe practices. I'm really concerned. I have elderly family. I want to stay safe for them. I don't want them to be sick. So I've just had to get scrappy and record in the barn or outside, or as soon as I pull up somewhere and have it all planned out, somebody's going to start up some power washer or something like that. It is something else.
You mentioned before we started our conversation that you have a few donkeys there. Does the recording in the barn, shall we say, aggravate them, or do they just not notice?
Well, it would kind of add a little bit of flavor if they would start their big long bellows during recording. But they just might. They're something else. They're curious animals. They just stand out in the rain when it's pouring rain, and they will just start hollering when there's really nothing much going on. They're something else. They might add to a recording.
Sound engineers. What else do you have there in the barn on the property besides the two donkeys?
Well, we have an old orange cat named Hobbs, and he's mommy's baby. He follows us everywhere. And then I've got a good-sized garden. It's just a hobby garden. We have about 5 acres, and we essentially mow a bunch of grass every week when the weather's really warm. But I enjoy growing food and sharing it with neighbors and such.
Beyond listening to Tennessee Farm Table and Sweetgrass here on WUTC Saturday afternoons between 2 and 3, where can people go online to follow all that you do?
Basically, everything's at TennesseeFarmTable.com. And that's where I load the podcast notes and pictures of my guests and then links to them or places where they might be involved. And that's pretty much where I try to steer people to that as a hub. And also the podcast is on Apple Podcasts and generally all those podcast platforms.
And if people heard you talking about seeds earlier and they want to reach out to you directly, how can
you
do that?
Absolutely. If they go to my website, I've got a little form. If they want to email me through that, I'd love to hear from them. And as long as it doesn't get out of hand, I'm happy to mail them to them. And I'd love for them to know the story behind the seed. Almost as important as the food itself are the stories behind it.
You can't have the food without the stories, or the stories without the food.
It's so true.
Amy Campbell, thanks so much for Tennessee Farm Table and Sweetgrass here on WUTC.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's an honor.